Sometimes when it rains, it pours, and sometimes it pours energy news, usually about the natural gas industry. When that happens, we call on the Allegheny Front's energy reporter, Reed Frazier, to help us make sense of it. Hi, Reed.
Hi, Kara.
So it's been a very busy week. First, you reported on a study that's being conducted over the next months by PJM Interconnection, which operates the electric grid for a 13-state region, including ours. And the goal of the study is to, quote, understand the fuel supply risks in an environment trending towards greater reliance on natural gas. So we know that natural gas has been outcompeting coal and nuclear energy because of its price. Why would relying on gas be risky?
Well, that's what PJM wants to know. And just to back up a little bit, PJM is the grid that, you know, operates in Pennsylvania. It's basically a region from Washington, D.C. If you take a big paintbrush and paint a big stroke all the way to Chicago. So it's the biggest grid in the country. It serves about 65 million people. And increasingly, it's becoming, you know, kind of dominated by natural gas. You've heard headlines in recent weeks about First Energy, a big energy company, wanting, you know, bailouts and state subsidies because they have a lot of coal and nuclear that's on the grid that's getting threatened by natural gas. And one of the arguments that they've been making is that if we over-rely on natural gas, what happens if it gets super cold for a long time and there's problems with natural gas delivery? Could we have blackouts, like, say, during a polar vortex? So PJM is kind of asking itself that same question. It wants to know, at what point are we over-reliant on this single source? And, like, what's sort of the worst-case scenario? You know, right now we're around 30% natural gas use. What if we get up to around 50 or 60 or 70% natural gas? What then?
So what would fuel security look like?
Fuel security is sort of shorthand for, you know, do you have another way to power your plant besides this one source? So, you know, it could be a natural gas plant that has kind of on-site natural gas, like, you know, storage tanks of liquefied natural gas, which don't have to come in on a pipeline. Like, let's say a pipeline blows or there's a major cyber attack on the pipeline network. You would want to still be able to run your power plants, even if, you know, several big transmission lines go down at the same time. One way to do that is to have, you know, liquefied natural gas roll in on rail cars or some other way. And another way would be to have, you know, if you have a lot of Marcellus shale gas wells right near the power plant that don't need sort of interstate gas pipelines to deliver the gas. Or you could use, you know, liquid fuels like oil or diesel or kerosene.
What about pumping up other fuel sources like renewables?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, the problem for renewables is, like, they don't function all the time when the sun's not out or the wind isn't blowing. PJM is kind of looking, their job is to look at sort of the worst case scenario and make sure there's more than enough energy on the grid. So they don't see renewables as right now as, you know, an easy replacement for these fuel stable, like, you know, coal plants can just have big piles of coal laying around to crank up the turbines whenever they need it.
So not reliable enough yet. Okay, well, another story that broke this week is about renewable energy, or rather saying no to it. The Pennsylvania Game Commission is declaring a moratorium on wind turbines on state game lands, and that's land that accounts for 1.5 million acres. What's the commission's reason for this decision?
They are saying that, you know, because of threats to birds and bats and habitat fragmentation from building roads to access wind turbines up on these ridges where the wind turbines would be, that would, you know, that's counter to the Game Commission's mission or mandate.
Yeah, so birds or bats could fly into these wind turbines causing mortality. But there is natural gas development on these same game lands that we're talking about. Isn't there an argument to be made that that's impacting wildlife? There's also logging.
That is all true. There are over 2,000 gas wells on Game Commission land. And if we were to sort of expand out to also include state forests, which are another kind of public land in Pennsylvania, you know, combined, there's around 5,000 gas wells on public lands in Pennsylvania. There are, interestingly, no wind farms on any of this land. And a lot of this land is in remote areas up on ridges that would be great for wind development. And in the Game Commission's case, they've had 19 different projects come before them, and they've rejected all 19 for wind farms. And in contrast, they have all this, you know, gas development on their land. Some of that is not, sort of beyond their control. They don't own the gas rights to the ground underneath the game lands. Someone else does. But they do have some control over some of the gas wells on their land. And, you know, it's been observed by some that maybe they have a double standard for, you know, what constitutes too much impact from one industry, the wind industry, and natural gas, which they seem to not have so much of a problem with. And, you know, the natural gas industry has impacted forests in Pennsylvania. There have been research that's shown somewhere between 3 and up to 12% of the core forests in Pennsylvania have been impacted by things like pipelines or access routes or well pads from natural gas development.
Finally, there are a couple of gas-related things happening in Harrisburg this week. Governor Wolf and some lawmakers introduced legislation to impose a severance tax on natural gas. Now, that was a Wolf campaign promise that never went anywhere. How is this time different?
Yeah, that's an old school promise from 2014, right? It's not super different. I mean, variations of this same proposal have been brought up in the last few years by Wolf, and it would basically be a percentage of how much gas you get out of the ground. So if you hit sort of a mother load well, you're going to pay more. It's proportionate to the amount of gas you get out of the ground. The gas industry vigorously opposes this, and they have a lot of sway in the legislature, which generally agrees with the gas industry, at least this iteration of the legislature.
And there's also a state house bill to loosen environmental regulations on conventional oil and gas drillers that we haven't even gotten to yet. We'll have more about that on our website. Hey, thanks, Reed.
Thank you.
Reed Fraser covers the fast-paced world of energy news for the Allegheny Front. And there's more of his reporting at AlleghenyFront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.